Welcome back. You're in the know, KWNO, AM 1230, FM 98.7. Thanks for being with us here on the program. The Minnesota Legislature convenes this afternoon at in St. Paul, and Gene Pawlowski joins us now on the line to preview the legislative session here a bit. Gene, good morning. How are you, my friend? Good to hear you again.
Good morning, Jason. I'm fine, and I hope you're also doing well.
I am. Thank you for asking. And so we have the legislative session starting. What happens, Gene, here, you know, this first day or these first couple of hours? And this session, I guess, is going to be a bit unique because we will have some honoring of Melissa Hortman and John Hoffman. But how do these first couple hours go once the legislature reconvenes this afternoon?
Well, this is going to be a unique legislative session. There's been nothing like this in the 38 years I was in the House, where they are going to be honoring former Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband. And I assume that's going to take several hours for members to say what they need to say in honor of Speaker Hortman. And then it's a legislative session unlike any other also because of the activities of ICE and the federal government that have happened over the last couple of months, and two, you know, Minnesota citizens were unfortunately killed. You also have a session that traditionally is the capital investment session or the bonding session. However, looking at the comments that were made the last couple of days by leadership in both parties, I think it's going to be highly unlikely that there will be a capital investment bill. And then finally, there's no money to spend. So what money there would be one time, and one time money you can't put into long-term spending.
Right.
So it's going to be a very interesting session.
As far as, so let's take these, you know, these points that you mentioned, let's take this kind of point by point. So let's start with ICE activity in Minnesota, the unfortunate deaths of two Minnesota citizens. How will this be discussed amongst state lawmakers, do you think? Because will there be just a lot of talking about this? Will there actually be some kind of legislation put forward to try to, you know, reduce ICE activity in Minnesota? How do you see that playing out?
Well, there are already 94 bills that will be introduced today, which will bring the total for the session to 3,442, and that's just 47 shy of a record. And this is for a session that started 30 days late last year because of the boycott and then the fake legislative session. So 11 of these bills deal with some type of ICE or federal activity. There's a bill, for instance, to require agents exhibit visible identification and not wear masks. There's legislation to say that vehicles have to be that are going to transport any type of detainee have to be marked by law. There's going to be restrictions about what federal agents could do in or around schools. So, yeah, there's going to be a number of pieces of legislation, mainly from the DFL side, that will deal with that.
How deep is that partisan divide, do you think, between what is the right thing to do here when it comes to ICE? Because you mentioned most of those bills are from the DFL side. I think that most or many Republicans are dug in on the side of ICE just because it is the Trump administration's, Trump administration's move to have ICE here in Minnesota. Is that partisan divide pretty deep there that when it comes to ICE?
Yeah, it's deep and it's also razor thin. It's 67-67 in the House and a one-vote margin in the Senate. And with the GOP having as their theme the North Star comeback, where almost everything that they're focusing on deals with fraud, fraud from both identifying it and then also regulating the agencies so that they have to regulate any type of fraud. Yeah, there's a it's a huge divide, and yet the numbers are razor thin.
Safety net programs here in the state, I think, have faced, you know, kind of a lot of scrutiny, you know, have been called into question, mostly on the federal level by federal prosecutors. Do you see that having any movement or any kind of resolution here in the session?
That's an interesting one, Jason, because on the House side, you have two chairs for every committee except one. You've got a Republican chair and you've got a Democratic chair. I think you're going to see, usually there's two hearings a week, and both hearings might be exactly 180. so that you'll have a hearing on fraud in one, and then you'll have a hearing on the ICE material in the other, and never the twain shall meet. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think there's a real opportunity here. Is there fraud? How big is the fraud? And how do you address the fraud? If they could just handle that this session,
right,
that would be an extremely productive session. So it's yet to be identified. And remember that this is not a budget session.
Mm-hmm.
It usually is a capital investment session, but that's not likely.
Right.
And you don't have any significant resources. So if you're not going to focus on something and try to get something done, this could be a session that you could end rather quickly. You don't have to go all right. the way to May.
Yeah, and I guess my feeling, Gene, would be if you kind of strip away all of the things that are unlikely to happen, addressing fraud might be the one issue where you could have both sides of the aisle at least come to some kind of a grudging agreement, whether that's creating an office of inspector general or whatever it might be. Then I think that is probably the best case for them to get something significant done, right?
Yes, and it might be the way to compromise. It right. might be the way to say, all right, if we go down that path, because it's 67-67, mm-hmm. then give us at least one or two of the top items on the DFL side dealing with ICE and what happened over the last few months.
Right.
That might be the way to compromise.
How much does it complicate a session that it is an election year?
Yes, well, in the House, you've got three members running on the GOP side for governor. You've got the Speaker of the House and then two members inside the Speaker's caucus. I think there will be the opportunity for a tremendous amount of grandstanding here unless one or two of them drop out. And it looks like Speaker Damoth is the one that's way ahead, but that won't stop the other two from speaking if they're still running.
Is there a sense sometimes in an election year that you maybe, as a candidate, don't want to get things done or don't want to let the other side get things done because you want to have more fodder for your constituents or for the voters, you know, more things to blame on the other side as you are getting closer to election day? Is that a dynamic that sometimes develops?
Yes, and it's already illustrated over the last couple of days with both of the press conferences. You're looking at two groups that seem to be on different planets. Mm-hmm. When they both had press conferences and neither one had an issue that crossed over.
Right.
So it was all about fraud. It was all about regulation on the GOP side. And then on the DFL side, it was all about those 11 bills dealing with ICE. So you're exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see much happening with a 67-67. Who is going to be that one brave legislator that when a bill comes to the floor is going to be the one that makes it 68 on either side? And so far, that's yet to materialize.
Does it affect things at all that Governor Walz is a lame duck governor at this point?
Yes, it does. Everyone knows he's not running again, and this will be his last session, last term in office. So it does a great deal. Mm-hmm. And this may be an opportunity for the governor to say, well, then I'm going to really get engaged. I'm going to meet with legislators. I'm mm-hmm. going to make sure that they know I'm still the governor. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get anything passed, it has to go off my desk.
Real quick, I know this was a bill that came up several times when you were in the legislature. I believe, if I remember correctly, you were not in favor of it, but the sports gambling bill is one that gets a lot of attention, I think, in each legislative session. It seems unlikely that it's going to pass again in this session. What were your feelings on the sports gambling bill when you were in office, Gene?
I think there's enough opportunity for vice without us legalizing it.
Okay.
We don't need one more thing for anybody to do, and I'm particularly now thinking of young people
yeah.
who have credit cards, and you can run up a pretty sizable credit debt here
right.
by betting. And now with a handheld device,
yeah.
you can bet like crazy, and we just simply don't need it.
Yeah, you don't even need a credit card anymore. You just need your phone, and you can quickly lose money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not going to generate anywhere near the amount of money they're talking about for the state.
You don't think so?
Move on to other issues. The ones that we've talked about, Jason, I think are the ones that are serious and are long-term for the good of the state.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so legislative session starts today. Gene Pawlowski is our guest, of course, served in the Minnesota legislature for 38 years representing Winona and the greater Winona area. Gene, just want to ask you real quick, and this is a broad question, so, you know, bear with me here, but I feel like, you know, the division, we talk about it all the time, Gene, you and I, we've had many conversations, and it seems like the division between the two parties just gets deeper and deeper, whether that's here in Minnesota or really nationwide. When you look at when you first started in the legislature to now, why has that divisiveness and that division, why do you think it's deepened so much over the years to where we are to and come to where we are now?
Yeah, I think both sides have taken this now as almost a quasi-religion, that I'm either going to be far left or far right, and in whichever one you want to pick is absolutely the correct way to go, and there is no compromise at all, none. And when I came in, there was always on the Republican side, there was a moderate group, and on the Democratic side, there was a moderate group. And those two moderate groups, of which I was one, we could work out a path that would get something done constructively for the state. That, in the 67-67 legislature, the one we just talked about, that's non-existent. By the way, Jason, they have in the House something called the Civility Caucus, where they have lunches. They may want to find another name for that, because it's not working very well.
Yeah, that's true. Has that sort of escalating division, is that what you think ultimately gave rise to MAGA and to Donald Trump? Is that a somewhat result of that situation?
Exactly. And it brought in on both sides individuals that were not traditionally in the political process. Mm-hmm. So you've seen the political organizers on the DFL side, and you've seen on the Republican side, you've seen the fringe groups literally take over, and they're the ones that decide who the candidates are. So if you're going to caucus night or you're going to an endorsing convention and you want that endorsement, you have to placate one side or the other.
Is there a way back from that, from where we are now, do you think?
Well, I served for 38 years, and my motto was the districts first, the state second, the nation's third, and political parties were last. I managed to survive 38 years.
You certainly did. Well, Gene, thank you so much for your insight, as always. And now that the session's starting, we'll try to get you on here on a regular basis, just break down everything that's happening week to week. But we certainly appreciate you hopping on today and breaking down what's going to happen up there in St. Paul as the session gets going. So we appreciate you. Thank you, my friend.
Happy to do it, Jason.
That is Gene Pawlowski, former state representative, represented Winona County for 38 years, almost four decades. Here in the state legislature. We'll be right back. You're in the know, KWNO.